Good evening. Welcome to the July 6th meeting of the Engineering and Operations Committee. I will start off with announcements that I need to make. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Summit Circle Engineering Services Section Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen in to the meeting or make comments to the committee using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or the internet-based service, the meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. Phone participants will be called on by their last two digits of their phone number or by name. When it's your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. And members of the public, we have public comment cards, and I've received one from Ms. Noltemeyer. The procedures for tonight's meetings are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from committee members. The committee then comes to a consensus to move this item to the board for consideration or not. And we will consider whether to put things on a consent calendar. And all committee members are present with the exception of President Gary Martin. And with that, please stand and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. Item two, I think that's the one you meant instead of item one, Ms. Noltemeyer, that you wish to speak of.
Yes, I just.
That's
fine.
Quite all right. Please go ahead.
Do you want it now? I just brought this for you as a kind of assurance consumer confidence report. Clean, safe water, and our customers can trust. Want to agree with it? We haven't drank it for years. This, I'm just saying, I find that a little misleading in what they presented for. But I don't know what we can do about it, but maybe when it comes time for elections or something, we can bring it up. But I just found this the other day when I was sorting through things, and it kind of made me a little amused that we can have complete confidence in it, that I don't see many of you drinking. Thank you.
Which Stoltmeyer, which parameter are you referencing from the quality report? Which parameter are you referencing in the quality report? Which parameter are you referring to when you say that you don't drink water out of your being delivered to your house?
We don't choose to water it all. We buy water.
Correct, but which parameter are you referencing in a water quality report that you are have concern on?
On this?
Yeah, the one that you
brought. I think it's misleading.
What do you mean it's misleading?
This confidence report, clean, safe water that our customers can trust.
Have you opened it and checked all the parameters that are listed?
Yes, I have looked through it.
Which parameter are you concerned about?
All of them. That's why we don't drink if we haven't for years. I don't know what you want from us. I mean, For us, this isn't anything new.
All of them are within limits below. All of them are within limits in the below.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Right. All right, never mind.
All of this groundwater, imported water, recycled water, stored, bank water.
Just 5 minutes, a couple of seconds left.
Okay, thank you. Are there any members of the public outside of this wish to comment?
I mean,
seeing none.
Thank you. Item three is to be presented by Josh Jenkins this evening. This is a recommendation to approve to replace approximately 650 feet of pipeline and associated appurtenances in Bonita Lane.
Yeah, I'd like to just start by introducing Josh, or JJ, as he goes by. We have too many Joshes. JJ is one of our utility supervisors, and he and his crews will be working on this project ultimately if approved. So, JJ, go ahead.
Thank you, Keith. So, first, I'd like to, can you go to the next slide, actually? Sorry.
Yes. Do you want to share your screen or your video?
And just use mine?
If it's not working, that's okay.
I don't.
Oh, he's trying to share his presentation.
No, just turn on your
camera.
Just your picture so we can see it.
There it is.
All right. Well, with that, we'll get started. So Bonita Lane is a pipeline that staff's identified in the location of it's the northwest, or it's north, northwest of Sierra Highway, just below the new track, Skyline Ranch Road. It's located within the North Oaks pressure zone. And next slide, please. So currently there's a 2-inch galvanized pipeline that's installed in Bonita Lane. It serves 3 homes and it was installed in 1963. We've had, since the agency's formed, 3 leaks that I'm aware of. And then prior to that, we've also had leaks on this same pipeline. The last leak that we fixed, we had to cut a section of that pipe out and it was in pretty bad shape. I mean, it was really hard to get a seal to make the repair. So with that, we'd like to remove it from service and install a new ductile iron pipe, replace the 3 laterals with 1-inch Municipex, and also bring it up to AWWA standards by installing an air vac at the end, a blow off, and a fire hydrant to meet fire department regulations. Next slide. So we plan on using 15282K for the CEQA exemption because it doesn't exceed 1 mile in length of pipe. Next slide. And we plan on using PAYGO from pipeline improvements in the amount not to exceed $215,000. Next slide. So we recommend that you authorize the general manager to direct staff to complete this project in the amount not to exceed $215,000.
Very good. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
Well, there you are. Now we've got you on big screen. And you're probably right around behind the wall from the screen.
down the hill from you.
Is there anybody, public comments from the outside?
Seeing none.
Hey, Ms. Noltemeyer?
Oh, public comment.
Yes.
Okay, one moment.
You want to speak to him first? Or?
Just public comment.
Just public comment? You're talking about
the item we just discussed.
Which item are you discussing?
Item 3.
Item 3. Yes, it involves 3 people. I don't know how 3 people can come and request a whole something that's going to cost $215,000. It seems to me there has to be something very simple that they can do for three people. And to have all of us pay $215,000 just feels completely out of line. Now, if you want to approve it, that's your prerogative. But then when it comes voting time, it's our prerogative. So I'm just saying that for three people, $215,000 is a lot of money. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Noltemeyer. The people are not requesting this. This is the water agency that is requesting this to upgrade the pipeline. It's,
well, then,
that's just a comment to you. Please read the package. Questions from directors?
One question. What is the easement like out there over the agency? Is it 15 feet, 10 feet, 5 feet? Why?
As far as right now, we have no easement. So that's something we will also have to work on to get an easement to install this, which we're already in the process of.
I think Christina can speak to that if she's on.
Christina, are you there?
Yes, she is. Muted.
I am. Oops.
Christina.
Yes, hello. I don't think you can see me, but I think you can hear me.
Yes,
that's correct.
Okay. So we have a prescriptive easement because we have the pipeline in place, and we're working with the property owners to finalize and formalize a formal easement that will be recorded. So we're currently working with the property owners.
Good. Thank you. Director Ozovsky.
Thank you for adding the fire hydrant to the scope of work. That's it for me.
Very good. And consent calendar?
Yeah.
Very good. Boom. Thank you, Josh. Christina.
Thank you.
Item 4, Josh is back again. Oh, no, excuse me. Brent Payne is on. This is to recommend approval of adopting a resolution authorizing SCB Water's general manager to apply for funding from the State Water Resources Control Board's expedited drinking water grant program on behalf of New Mint Association for distribution system consolidation. Mr. Payne.
All right. Good evening, Chairman Cooper, directors. Brent Payne here is principal engineer for SCB Water. And the purpose of my presentation this evening is to seek your recommendation to apply for grant funds for consolidation of the New Mint Association water distribution system. Next slide, please, Liz. The New Mint Association is a small community. They're in the northeast part of our service area, and this vicinity map shows the general area. It's not far from where Josh was just talking about. They're located off Sierra Highway and just north and east of the Skyline Ranch development. We currently provide water to the New Mint Association from an existing 2-inch master meter that was installed in 1971. The system is currently operated entirely by volunteer homeowners, and the New Mint Association has 70 homeowners in total. Next slide, please. There's a real need for this project. The system was originally installed in the 1940s with primarily 2-inch steel pipes. So think World War II era here. No public fire hydrants, no isolation valves. Homeowners make the repairs themselves as part of an ad hoc volunteer organization. When they need to make repairs, they must shut down the entire system. Due to the system's age and condition, we consider it at risk of failure. The project will provide benefits, obviously, to the homeowners by providing a safe and reliable water distribution system. SCV Water will receive benefits and capacity fees as part of the grant funds that we'll receive. And then it meets an important goal of the State Water Board, which is to consolidate small water systems that are in desperate need. So next slide, please. This consolidation is defined as a distribution consolidation under the State Water Board guidelines. The scope is to replace the distribution system with all to standards with all the appurtenances, hydrants, isolation valves, as well as provide direct service lines and meters to each of the 70 homes. We will remove the existing master meter and we'll either abandon in place or remove the old steel lines. Once construction is complete, we'll take ownership of the new system and set up customer billing accounts. Next slide, please. Funding for this project is provided by a new grant program that the State Water Board just recently released a few months ago on March 8th, actually, and it's called the Expedited Drinking Water Grant Funding Program. There's several fund sources that the state can draw from. An important note on the eligibility requirements for this program, it's been expanded to include small systems that are at risk, like this one, even if they're not classified as a disadvantaged community, which has historically been the criteria. So this is certainly good news for an organization like the Newman Association. The state's deputy director for the Division of Financial Assistance makes the final call on which projects are to be funded. And the state's already given us a heads up that they do intend to fund this project. In fact, we've already submitted a general application for $4.3 million to cover the cost for planning, design, construction, as well as capacity fees. Next slide, please. So this slide and the next are about the schedule. So there's three steps in the grant application process, which is this first slide. As we did have an initial call with the State Water Board back in March to see if or confirm if Newman indeed would qualify under the eligibility under this new program. And they said yes and directed us to proceed with the application. Newman was on that call and we talked about the timing of funding, you know, after the grant agreement. So they agreed and have sufficient funds to give us a deposit so that we can get a head start on the grant application process. So that's where we're currently working. And then the next step is for the state deputy director to issue an official letter, which is called a preliminary funding award notification letter. And I was talking to my contact at the state earlier this afternoon, and we're expecting to receive that letter in late July. Once we receive that letter, in the spirit of an expedited grant program, the clock will start on a 30-day period to submit an authorizing resolution, which is before you tonight, and an engineering report, a CEQA notice of exemption, and a technical managerial and financial assessment, or TMF assessment. Next slide, please. The second phase is what I'm calling the grant agreement and implementation phase. And that's in step four, we'll prepare a final design and a water service agreement that will transfer ownership and customers from the Newman Association to SCV Water. Newman will no longer exist as an organization for water. And the state will issue a grant agreement. We'll seek board approval to execute this agreement along with the water service agreement that I mentioned. Then it'll be on to bidding, award, and construction. The grant agreement, we expect to take about 3 to 4 months. Bid and approval, we expect to take about 4 to 5 months, including the state's approval. And then construction, about a year. So overall, the project should be completed, grant application, you know, start to finish, and construction within about 2 years. And final slide, please. So we'd like to request that the Engineering and Operations Committee recommends that the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Board of Directors approve adopting a resolution authorizing the agency's general manager to apply for funding from the State Water Resource Control Board's Expedited Drinking Water Grant Program on behalf of NewMed Association for distribution consolidation. And with that, I'll return it back to you, Chairman Cooper.
Thank you, Brent. Are there written questions from outside?
Seeing none.
Yes, I have it in for
you. Yes, Ms. Noltmeyer has a question.
Yes, you're talking about a misassociation. Does that not mean that anybody that has a large lawn now can come in and get you to write off from mis-situation for our lawn in the back? That's what you approved. You're approving here is mist.
Mint.
Mint.
Mint. Mist. It's called M-I-N-T. New Mint. M-I-N-T.
M-I-N-T.
That's the name of the organization there, Mutual Water.
But what are you doing? What are you doing for them?
Oh, the state is going to allocate money to upgrade the system that they're on now so that we can take over the system.
So we can take over the system?
Yes. You're a Mutual Water company, right?
So we are paying to miss everybody's yard?
Mint. It's mint. M-I-N-T.
I'm sorry. Here, it says miss. You're saying that's the name of the place?
The name of their water company.
Oh, it's mist. And the water company, and what are they doing that you're approving?
They are a mutual water company that their system is failing, and there is money available from the state for us to upgrade the system and take it over. It doesn't cost us anything.
But you're going to take it over for them, and now besides regular water,
it'll be an all new system.
You're going to have misting for everybody?
Misting, whatever. Okay. Questions from the directors?
Question. Mr. Payne, going to slide number 4, remove or abandon existing steel lines. What are the pros and cons of that? Obviously removing it, there's a cost burden associated with that, but what about abandoning it in place? What are potential issues with doing that?
Well, we would cut and cap according to, sort of our standard practice. If we can remove it, that's obviously the cleanest, but some of the lines are so old and knowing exactly where they're at sometimes is a challenge in talking to some of the new Mint folks. So, and we've had our operations folks out there to kind of look at that as well. So,
Brent.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, with this smaller diameter pipe, we're not really concerned. Normally, larger diameter pipe, we want to do some type of sand fill, something else. In this case, it's a 2-inch pipe. Even if it compresses over time or it failed, you're not really impacting the roadway. You aren't going to see an impact. Whereas an 8-inch pipe will leave a divot.
Right.
So with a 2-inch pipe, we're really no risk of leaving it in the ground as an abandonment process. The portions we're going to remove are the portions we run into. But because we also have to keep all 70 homes active while we put in a new pipeline, we may have to do some highline work. There may be some other considerations we do if we run into and cross some of those pipes.
Okay, understood. So it sounds like removing and replacing new lines in its place because you do need to continue delivering water. Okay, understood. That's it for me, Chair.
Director Peterson.
Brent, there's 70 units, you said. How many units again?
Yeah, 70 lots and 70 homeowners. Yeah, our property owners.
Are there any commercial properties in that?
No, they're all residential.
Just curiosity. And as far as the our water system out there, I know it's pretty close to the end out there. Is there capacity for them in that expanding use in there, like the fire hydrants and et cetera?
Yes, we've done some modeling. We're working on an engineering report as part of the application. But yeah, we have sufficient fire storage in the Dean Zone there, and our lines are in Sierra Highway are adequate for to support the fire availability flows that we need.
For clarification, these are 70 homes that are currently being served.
Understand.
There's a single master meter, so we already provide the service, and although the surrounding community, the surrounding area, it does have fire protection, so there's no additional fire protection storage we need for that system.
Yeah, but your system, is that the end of the Dean Zone, is that correct? Pretty close?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's getting up there on the, yeah, it's not quite at the end.
Pretty close.
We
don't have a particular fire hydrant requirement or fire flow requirement because they're grandfathered in with their existing 2-inch network. So there is no specific 1,500 gallon per minute or 2,500 gallon per minute that we're trying to achieve on site. We're adding a fire hydrant off of an 8-inch network, basically. And they're going to get the best flow that we have available. It's not necessarily having to meet a higher demand or a new residential demand.
Okay. One last question, Mr. Payne. So the likelihood of us getting the grant based on what we know already, I assume it's high.
Right? It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. We've had that initial call with the state in March, and then we've had some subsequent calls, and then I've gotten an email from the state just recently that said that they intend to fund it and intend to give us that official notification letter later in July. In fact, the project manager is working on that letter now. So,
well, thank you. Sure.
And Brent, easements, since this is their system out there, are we going to receive easements for all of the lines that we're putting in?
So the streets that are the main lines of Forest and Fitch and Lewis are all public streets, but there could be some laterals that we're looking at to service in particular homes. And in those cases, we would be getting easements. Yes. And so we'll work out that detail in design. We could just put a bank within the right of way. So we're still sort of evaluating that as we move in. We'll do a final design as the next step.
And since they had a 2-inch meter out there, they had to take connection fees for that 2-inch meter, did they not?
It was a long time ago. It was in 1971. Presumably they did. In the estimate, the 4.3 that we gave, that included capacity fees for all 70 new meters, but gave them a credit based on today's rates for the 2-inch meter.
Okay, very good. Good. Thank you very much. Okay. Any other questions?
Yes.
Chair, I recommend that we move this to consent, since it's only grant application for grant.
Yeah, this one's been a long time coming. They've asked help out there for a long, long time.
Reading the report, it seems to be very long. A long time.
I'm fine with consent.
Talking about a long time, I just remembered 20 years ago when our supplier.
Yeah, and I think we necked down right out, yes, right by that school out there.
Exactly.
Right where it's at.
One question that maybe in a future meeting we could talk about is, what happens past there in the service boundaries of the agency? Because there is a lot more homes that are kind of in need of water supply, I'm pretty sure of. So anyway, something to think about in the future.
Very good. Thank you, Brent.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, item 6, this is... Mark is going to recommend approval for adopting a resolution of purchase order to West Yost Associates for planning services for the Rio Vista Water.
Item 5, I think.
I have time to wait. Okay, well, and the other Mark, that's the same guy, and approval for of adopting a resolution authorizing the general manager to approve a contract amendment to Pacific Hydrotech Corporation for additional change orders, and two, to execute a purchase order amendment to Lee and Rowe for engineering support services during construction of the Earl Schmidt filtration plant, washwater return and sludge system. Mark.
All right. Good evening, Chairman Cooper and members of the committee. My name is Mark Amentado. I'm an engineer and project manager for the construction contract for the Earl Schmidt Earl Schmidt filtration plant, washwater return and sludge systems project. The purpose of this presentation this evening is to, one, recommend approval of a contract amendment to Pacific Hydrotech Corporation for additional change orders in the amount of $716,639.98. And two, execute a purchase order amendment to Lee and Rowe, Inc. for additional engineering services during construction in the not-to-exceed amount of $125,000 for the ESFP washwater return and sludge systems project. Next slide, please. This slide shows the location of ESFP just east of the lower lagoon of Castaic Lake in the northern part of FCB Water's service area. Next slide, please. This plan focuses on the southeast portion of ESFP and shows the overall site improvement plan. In May of 2022, construction of the project began, and the original scope of work includes the installation of two new washwater return basins, shown in green, installation of a third drying bed, and a second thickener tank. These improvements were previously identified to ensure the Division of Drinking Water's Cryptosporidium Action Plan goal of returning water with less than two nephelometric turbidity units, or NTUs, within the washwater return and flush systems. And taking advantage of the lower water demand in the winter, ESFP was shut down last November. The shutdown enabled the contractor to make modifications and critical tie-ins to existing facilities, which would be nearly impossible to complete with a plan in operation. I'm happy to report that the plan was returned into operation in May of 2023, only a few months ago, and bringing the plant back in operation before the summer months was a critical milestone, and the work will continue on for the next several months. To date, substantial completion of the washwater return basins 3 and number 4, sludge drying bed number 3, and modifications to the overflow structure, are all shown in green, are, again, substantially complete. Currently, the contractor is working on installing the washwater effluent wet well, valve vaults, and electrical equipment, as well as the retaining walls shown in yellow. Next slide, please. During construction, several change orders were submitted by Pacific Hydrotech, as well as change orders initiated by SCB. The change orders initiated by the agency were relatively large in scope and exhausted allowances set for the project. Early in the project, FCV staff requested to rehabilitate sludge drying bed 1. This was outside of the original scope. It was determined that the buried perforated pipe used to collect water from the sludge had been damaged, preventing the drying bed from draining properly. Furthermore, the plan in yellow shows a new thickener effluent pump station and piping modifications. The thickener effluent pump station will eliminate double pumping of return water and replace two existing pumps at the sludge drying bed 1 and three existing pumps within the central pumping plant, which are shown in orange. The existing pumps in the central pumping plant were initially sized to return water to the head of the plant and are now too large, since the water from this area will only need to be pumped back at the wash water return basins. Alternatively, the two pumps in the sludge drying bed area are too small to pump water all the way to the basins. With the expected long lead times of the new pumps, it was imperative to begin the procurement process as soon as possible, share overhead costs, and reduce extended delays to the project. Next slide, please. This slide shows additional improvements needed at the filter and contact clarifier gallery. Requested by the Division of Drinking Water, improvements to raise the existing flow structure, existing overflow structure, and provide an air gap were included in the original project. During the plant shutdown, The improvements were substantially completed and the overflow structure can be seen in operation from the upper right-hand corner of your screen. Unfortunately, by increasing the elevation of the structure, drains near the turbidimeter analyzers began to back up. Fortunately, a workaround was devised so that the plant could return to operation while a permanent solution of installing rigid drain pipe towards basin one was developed. Next slide, please. The original contract amount for this project was $17,526,700. Approximately $583,000, or about 3.33% of change orders, can be approved under the general manager's authority of 4%. However, to complete the work, an additional amount of approximately $717,000 is needed. This includes remaining work to install a thickener effluent pump station and exporting soil from the sludge drying bed, one that we rehabilitated, and other projected change orders, as well as future contingency for any unforeseen issues for the remainder of the project. All in all, this will bring the revised change order authority amount of up to $1.3 million, or about 7.42% of the original contract amount. I wanted to mention that of the $1.3 million in change orders, Pacific Hydrotech initiated about $195,523 of it, of work, which results primarily from the escalation of oil prices and additional base and AC pavement. Alternatively, the agency initiated approximately $1.1 million, which includes the new thickener effluent pump station and export of the sludge drying bed material from sludge drying bed one. Next slide, please. The agency also works with Lee and Rowe Inc. for this project. They are the original design engineers for the project. And as shown on the table, the board initially approved $660,000 for engineering services during construction. Lee and Rowe's original proposal was for an amount not to exceed $610,950, and a work authorization of approximately $110,000 was issued for additional costs associated with submittal and RFI review. Currently, the amended purchase order amount of $720,098 is within the total maximum authorized not to exceed amount, including the 10% additional service allowance. However, an additional $125,000 is requested for additional design, engineering, and logic control programming associated with the changes in the scope. Next slide, please. This slide shows the original contract start date and 540-day duration. Starting on March 23 of 2022 and scheduled completion of November 13 of this year. Due to the additional change orders requested, the contractor is requesting an additional 130 days, calendar days. Most of the extension is composed of the procurement time for the effluent thickener pump station. And the new estimated completion date is March 18, 2024. This project is in line with SCB Water's strategic plan objective B1.1.7, which is to complete design and initiate construction of the Earl Schmidt sludge collection systems project. Next slide, please. Staff recommends that the Engineering and Operations Committee recommend the Board of Directors, firstly, approve a contract amendment to Pacific Hydrotech Corporation for additional change orders in the amount of $716,639.98. And secondly, execute a purchase order amendment to Lee & Rowe Inc. for additional engineering services during construction in the not-to-exceed amount of $125,000. If appropriate, I'd like to request this item to be considered on the consent calendar of the July 18 board meeting. This concludes my presentation. Thank you, and I'll bring it back to you, Chairman Cooper.
Thank you, Mark. Mm-hmm. Liz, are there any outside comments?
I've seen that.
Ms. Noltemeyer.
No.
Could you please stand so we can hear you?
I said I wasn't going to say anything because it makes no difference.
Okay. Very good. Questions from the committee?
So removing the two small pumps at sludge drying type one, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And what's going to happen with these pumps?
So they're going to be bypassed. So the purpose of the new wet well and pump station is to collect the water from both the sludge drying basins, sludge drying beds, and the two new, the existing thickener tank and the new one that's being installed. So it's going to be collected in a shared wet well and pumped back to the basins.
Understood. Are we expecting any other change orders for this project?
A few. There's additional, as mentioned in the presentation, some change orders for additional AC. And I believe that we have a $250,000 contingency as well. So for any unforeseen.
Back to you, Jack.
Mark, the change orders, I mean, we've had a significant amount of change orders on this project. This part of it, why was that not caught in the design process?
Sure, yeah. Give me a second here. I actually prepared that an answer. Give me a second.
You're prepared for that.
You knew. So the rehabilitation of sludge drying bed one was not included in the original design. During the design phase many years ago, sludge drying bed one was operational. It wasn't until recently that the plant operators noticed issues with sludge drying bed one, and therefore, you know, since the contractor was already doing work there, with the new sludge drying bed three, it was decided to, hey, you know, you guys should rehab sludge drying bed one as well. And then the other large change order, which is the new thickener effluent pump station, while oversized, the three pumps in the central pumping plant could perform the work in combination with the two smaller pumps. However, these pumps would need to be cycled on and off more frequently, adding wear and tear to these pumps. And then in order to simplify and reduce the need for double pumping during this process, we just thought, hey, you know, we should install a new wet well and thickener effluent pump station to handle all of this. So, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Very good. Thank you. Do you want to try consent on this one?
We can try
it. See how far it goes. And,
what's been our track record in the past?
Pretty good.
I think the write-up and presentation are really clear. We will be prepared to present regardless. So if you try for consent, we will be there ready to present if they decide to pull it.
Okay, let's do that. Okay, once again, Mark, this is to recommend approval of adopting a resolution of a purchase order to West Coast Associates for planning services for the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Turbidity Improvement Project.
All right, good evening again. So my name is Marco Mentado. I'm an engineer and project manager for the planning services for Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Turbidity Improvements Project. We have an item here in front of you this evening. You, one, recommend approval of a resolution authorizing a purchase order to West Yost Associates for planning services for the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Turbidity Improvements Project. And two, finding that the authorization is not a project subject to CEQA in accordance with CEQA Guidelines Section 15262. And tonight I will present to you. Next slide, please. Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant is centrally located within the central Santa Clarita Valley near Central Park. A major nearby crossroads are Newhall Ranch Road and Bouquet Canyon Road. FCB Water owns and operates two surface water treatment plants, Earl Schmidt Filtration Plant and Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant. In late 2022 and early 2023, Rio Vista, and to a lesser extent, ESFP, was challenged by an unprecedented combination of conditions. These conditions were unusually low water levels in Castaic Lake, recent wildfires, and significantly greater rainfall, which contributed to elevated turbidity levels in source water entering both Rio Vista and Earl Schmidt. But at the time, Earl Schmidt was offline, so that's why it was to a lesser extent. So from this experience, FCB Water has identified a need to evaluate the existing water treatment processes and spent backwash water system and identify improvements that may improve FCB Water's ability to respond to high turbidity events in the future. Next slide, please. This slide shows the major components of Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant. Similar to ESFP, Rio Vista uses granular media pre-treatment processes followed by deep bed filtration shown on the left as contact clarifiers and filters, respectively. This process can filter water at rates as high as 10 gallons per minute per foot squared. The contact clarifier filter water treatment process with pre-ozone oxidation is particularly well-suited for treatment of low turbidity source water. However, in the past, namely in 2001 and in 2005, this treatment process can and has been operated to treat high turbidity water. However, the spent backwash water system was overwhelmed by the volumes of spent backwash water and sludge solids and increased the frequency that the contact clarifiers needed to be washed and the filters backwashed. These events ultimately led to the 2010 Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant expansion project, which included installation of additional filters and contact clarifiers and adding a third wash water return basin. The extended high turbidity events in late 2022 and early 2023 have significantly exceeded prior high turbidity events, prompting SCB Water to identify pre-treatment processes, pre-treatment process improvements, as well as improvements to the existing wash water return system at Rio Vista. And next slide, please. On April 3, 2023, staff issued a request for proposals for planning services for the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Turbidity Improvements Project. Four firms were notified via Planet Bids. The four firms were West Yost Associates, Kennedy Jenks Associates, Black & Veatch Corporation, MKN, and Associates. On May 3, 2023, one proposal from West Yost Associates was received. Based on the department's standard evaluation procedures, the proposal was evaluated by members from both engineering and operations on the criteria listed above. Although only one proposal was received, I would like to point out that Kennedy Jenks Associates was listed as a subconsultant for site civil and structural engineering in West Yost's proposal. This project will continue FCB Water's strategic plan objective B1, plan, design, and build facilities to meet demand, including storage capacity and interconnections between regional and retail water systems, and B2, plan and budget for long-term replacements and improvements. Next slide, please. The planning services scope of work includes various levels of data collection and review, evaluation of the current treatment processes and backwash water system with the goal of developing 30% plans, planning level design drawings, and probable cost of construction for pre-treatment improvements and wash water improvements to ensure that Rio Vista can better handle extended periods of high turbidity source water while producing regulatory compliant filtered water. Next slide, please. This slide shows the project schedule. This evening, we're here at the Engineering Operations Committee. We're planning this project to the board on July 18, 2023. If the board approves, staff will issue a notice to proceed to the consultant. The planning services should be expected to be completed in March of 2024. Next slide, please. Staff is recommending that the Engineering Operations Committee recommend that the Board of Directors firstly approve, adopt, approve adopting a resolution authorizing the general manager to execute a purchase order to for planning services to West Yost Associates for an amount not to exceed $610,000. And secondly, find that the approval of the proposed action is exempt from CEQA review in accordance with CEQA guidelines section 15262, because the project involves feasibility studies or planning studies for possible future actions which the agency has not approved, adopted, or funded. If appropriate, I'd like to request this item to be considered on consent calendar for the July 18 board meeting. And this concludes my presentation. Thank you. I'll bring back to you, Chairman Cooper.
Thank you, Marty. Liz, are there anybody outside?
Seeing none.
Ms. Noltemeyer?
No comments.
Mr. Omentato, can you give me see slide number 3 from your presentation again? And I was wondering if you can explain to us maybe the footprint of this turbidity improvement project. Potential, like what can we expect?
The purpose of this is to determine that. We don't actually know.
I know.
Are going to be recommended.
Okay. So we don't. All right. So my next question to Mr. Mayo is south of the filters, east of the ozone injection station, do we have enough space for growth at where we are right now? You know, 10, 15, 20 years from now in terms of capacity and treatment?
There is room actually to the south of the sludge drying beds. If you're looking at this, what would be the entrance off of Newhall Road? There's also room to the west of those basins. That's where the majority of the amount of room would be. As far as the buildings and the additional contact space, we would have to evaluate. Some of this is also taken up by future battery storage projects and other projects we have proposed for the site.
And Mr. Akarmi, same question to you in terms of facilities and services and equipment. Any potential issues with footprint for your staff and services and equipment in the next 10, 15 years?
Well, I don't think so. But again, we don't really know what this is proposing yet. So once this project proposes a solution, if you will, for the turbidity, it will help us understand better how that's going to fit in with the long-term plans for the project. The site itself was adequate, as far as I know, for an ultimate expansion of the plant to 120,
wasn't
it? 120,
yeah.
But I don't, we don't tend to go to that, we don't think, but the property was sufficient for that. So I suspect we can make it all fit without issue once we understand what the actual requirements are.
Okay, understood. Thank you. Back to you, Chair.
Director Peterson.
A lot of money for a feasibility study and without design. So, but I understand you have to look at all the ramifications of it. Yost, has the engineer in charge of this or the project manager for Yost, who is that?
Richard Reed and Craig Thompson. So they are both very familiar with Rio Vista from past projects.
Yes, I know. That's all I had.
Mark, is this going to require a demonstration plant? You think they're going to have to do some of that kind of work?
I believe so, yeah. In their proposal, they mentioned that they were going to use the existing pilot plant at Rio Vista, as well as studies during their own offices.
Because this could potentially get to a filter-to-waste facility, and that would be big here.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You got it.
And the price is too much for consent in this case, right?
It's typically anything over a million. Other than that, we've been moving them to consent.
We can try it. Something's going to get bold. We'll see which one it is. Yeah. That seemed very up to March of 2024. That's pretty quick to be able to do pilot studies. And,
it's their only project, right?
Yeah.
And they're working weekends. Yeah. When you say filter to waste, can you explain that?
One of the things that the health department does like is plants to be built with a filter to waste. So when you have to backwash the filter and clean it, that it goes to waste for a period of time before you put it back online with the rest of it. And then what you do with that water, which can be fairly significant. I mean, you don't lose it. You have to use it in the system somewhere.
It gets complicated. That water as much as probably treat the original water.
Yeah. It's kind of like dealing with sludge, but not a lot of sludge in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Item 7, hope I'm in the right order this time. Mr. Lee is going to recommend approval of adopting a resolution for construction contract with Fleming Environmental Incorporated. Also a purchase order to Lee and Rowe for engineering services during construction. And 3, a purchase order to Kennedy Jenks Consultants for construction management inspection services during construction. And 4, to find the contract agreement exempt from CEQA.
Good evening, Chairman Cooper and member of committee. My name is Wailan Lee, and I'm the engineer of SCV Water. So the purpose of this evening presentation is to seek approval of a resolution of award a construction contract to Fleming Environmental Inc. and authorized purchase order to Lee and Rowe and Kennedy James Consultant Inc. for the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant, RVWTP, and underground diesel fuel storage tank replacement improvement project. Please, next slide, please. So this slide shows the location. The underground diesel fuel storage tank is located within the Rio Vista Treatment Plant. It is the fuel tank for the standby generator. The standby generator is serving the treatment plant as well as the administrative building. Next slide, please. The purpose of this project is to replace the existing underground storage tank and the day tank, as you can see in this picture. They both reach the end of their useful life. The replacement project is a proactive action to ensure the functionality of the facility. Next slide, please. So this is a 3D rendering for the above ground storage tank. And currently the existing underground storage tank is underneath where we're proposing the above ground tank will be. With that, with this improvement, will allow easier access and maintenance will be easier for the storage tank. Next slide, please. So the project was advertised on PennyBit on February 23rd, 2023, and the bid were electronic open on May 31st, 2023. There were 2 bids received for this project from Fleming Environmental Inc. and Pacific Hydrotech Corporation. Fleming Engineering Inc. Environmental Inc. is lower bidder, and the bid amount is $1.39 million, which is comparable to the engineer estimate of $1.31 million. Fleming Environmental Inc. has experience on working on both above and underground storage fuel tank and have good recommendation from the consultant of their works. This project will continue SCV Water Strategic Plan Objective B.5.1, maintain all facility and appurtenance in a consistent fashion to achieve operational efficiency and functionality. Next slide, please. Lee and Rowe, as the design engineer, will be providing engineering support during construction. which including reviewing submittal, RFI, and attending meeting. Also, they will be responsible to prepare the record drawings and supporting project closeout. Next slide, please. Kennedy Jenks Consultant will provide construction management, inspection services, and material testing for this project during construction. Next slide, please. So this slide shows the project schedules. This project is presented tonight at the Engineering Operation Committee meeting, and it will be presented in July 18 board meeting. If the board approves, staff will issue a notice to proceed to the construction contractor and the consultants. The construction of this project will be expected to be completed in September 2024. Last slide, please. To conclude, staff recommend the Engineering and Operation Committee recommend to board directors, firstly, approve adoption of resolution awarding a contract to Fleming Environmental Inc. for the RVWTP UST replacement improvement project for $1,388,711. Secondly, authorizing the general manager to execute the purchase order for engineering services during construction with Lee and Rowe Inc. for the amount not to exceed $210,000. Thirdly, authorize the general manager to execute a purchase order for construction management and inspection services with Kennedy Jenks Consultant Inc. for the amount not to exceed $405,000. Lastly, fund the project qualify exemption under CEQA guideline 15301 for the minor alteration of existing public facility, and alternatively qualify an exemption under CEQA guideline section 15302 for the replacement of an existing facility where a new facility will locate it on the same site as the facility replaced will be substantially the same purpose and capacity as the facility replaced. If appropriate, I would like to ask to put this item on into the consent July 18 consent calendar. This concludes my presentation. Thank you, and bring it back to you, Chairman Cooper.
Thank you. Liz, you can hear.
Seeing none.
Ms. Moldemar.
Well, I mean, we kind of knew this was happening, so thank you for the presentation. No questions.
Just to ask a question, I noticed the budget was $8.3 million, and this contract is for $1.3 million. Do we have that much savings?
Sorry, what was the question?
The contract is for 1.3 plus some engineering. I'm sure there was some engineering to begin with, but the budget as stated in the was 8.5 billion. Stated in their financial consideration paragraph.
Our engineer's estimate was 1.3. I don't remember seeing it as 8 million.
Page 54 of the board passes.
I'll have to look and see if there was more projects included. I'm not positive why we had such a difference there, actually.
Mm-hmm. You know how much engineering we spent already on the project?
I will have to look too.
Because I was looking for it in your reports. And
not 7 million.
No.
We're not there.
All right.
I will get back with you with that answer though, Ken.
It's about 250K for the planning portion of the work.
You know, that's okay for consent, but I think this is over the over the amount. Probably have to have an action item.
This is probably the simplest of all of them. This one will take me. a couple of questions for you, Ms. Lee. We have other fuel stations as well that are on the plant where we fuel vehicles. Is that correct?
Yes, but this particular one is for the standby generator.
Yes, but the other ones are the same age as this one because we built all of that at the same time 20 years ago. So are we going to replace those as well with above ground storage, or what are we doing with those? Maybe that's where the $8.5 million came in.
I don't remember any other storage tanks.
How many do we have?
Well, we have gas and diesel storage for vehicles here, don't we?
No, I don't think so. I think that's all it goes for.
Even my time, it wasn't the...
Oh, it isn't there?
No, it isn't there.
So where do we get it? Jason has raised his hand. He should be okay.
Jason knows everything.
Yeah, he'll know.
Yeah, hello. Good evening, directors. So actually, the approved fiscal year 23-24 budget for this item is actually not $8.5 million. It's much lower. It's about $1.583 million. And the fiscal year after is actually approved at $290,000. That's what's in our approved budget for this.
So where did 8.5 come from then?
That might have been something that might have been by accident from somewhere else. So actually, that number should get revised in the board staff report.
And so, Jason, do we have other underground fuel tanks at Rio Vista?
No, we don't. This is the last one. The one prior to this was at the Rio Vista intake pump station, roughly in 2011, that we had removed and put in the above ground storage tank at that facility.
Okay, thank you. And the other question I have, drawing that you show the above ground storage tank. And I know when I dealt with this stuff years ago, is that in diesel is considered a hazardous material. You had to have enough containment wall to contain the full volume of the tank. But this doesn't really show that as being able to do that. Don't we have to have full containment?
I believe this one has the above ground tank will have a double containment within the tank itself, but also too, the outside portion, there is containment. I know the designer took a look at the regulations and they made sure that the volume that they had identified or the improvements in terms of the walls around it would suffice for that containment to meet the requirements.
Yeah, so Liz, if you can bring up the presentation, I think it's this 3D rendering slide 3. So that is, you can see that is a concrete wall, a short wall around it too. So that's where so it's double containment on top. That is, if that is leak, that is confined in that area.
Yeah, I just my experience, you had to have containment for a full tank, not just a small little wall around there. I guess maybe the curb will hold 5,000 gallons or whatever you
think. I think you have the double-walled containment within the vessel itself. And so if you rupture the inner vessel, we are alerted and the outer vessel holds. So that's our containment. The small wall around there is a leak wall.
And
if you have any spills or anything that hit the ground, that
would tray.
Effectively.
Yes. And then this 3D rendering is an older rendering. The wall is not that short. It's actually taller.
Okay. Good. Wanted to bring it to your attention as well. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But you're going to remove the tank prior to installing the new tank, correct?
Yep.
Yes.
Not in the contractor's price.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Lee. Move on to item 8, Mr. Abercrombie, monthly ops report.
Chairman Cooper, sorry to interrupt. Not consent, correct?
No. This one's over $1 million.
We use that criteria.
Yeah. We can do this one at the board. Mr. Abercrombie, excuse me.
So the monthly operations and production report is item 8 in your packet. Only a few things I'll point out is, again, this report is as of the 8th of May. And the majority of well levels, water levels and wells are still rising as of the end of May. And number 3 or 4 hit new all-time highs. So, you know, that's encouraging. We also are given the amount of surface water, you know, available to us this year because of the wet winter. We are working with our water resources group to try to maximize our use of imported water. And so if you look at the production charts, you'll notice that like in April and May, we produced anywhere from 70 to 75% of our water from import water versus well water.
Any questions, Liz?
Seeing none.
Maybe.
No, I would like the precipitation numbers for this year.
Oh, yeah. I tried the link on the online to get the hydrographs, and it wouldn't work.
It worked for me.
Did it work for you?
Yeah.
We tried every time.
Probably operator error. Okay, Mr. Mayo, CIP and construction status report.
You have that as item number 9 in your packet. We still have a number of items that we're wrangling the contractors to do the very last punch list on. Newhall tanks 1 and 1A are the stairs. Those are wrapping up. Final details, the Vista Canyon recycled water tanks have just the smallest amount of punch list, having mainly to do with erosion on site that we're having them resolve. Hoping to close that out very soon as well. And then the Magic Mountain pipelines, the last meeting we had last Wednesday, there were still 82 punch list items on the list that are trying to be resolved. So although we've seen some of these in the 90s for a while, we are working diligently and still moving those along. We just don't want to accept a facility that doesn't have 100% completion and all the punch list items fixed. So other than that, open up to back to you.
Any outside comments?
Seeing none.
Very good. Meeting. Nothing. Did we settle the issue with Vista Canyon over bringing in the other pipeline off of Soledad, the other connection?
The across the bridge.
Yes.
We've met with the developer, Jim Backer, on that a number of times. We have a proposal, but we haven't received from them the actual costs to do the work. And so we haven't been able to come to a final arrangement yet. We're waiting on them to provide the cost of the pipeline and final design.
Okay, and Courtney, the committee planning calendar.
We have the planning calendar. We've shortened it to some degree by bringing it to the current date instead of looking at all past agenda items. So that does help out, although there are a large number of items to be looked at through the year that we have listed. We're doing our best to average those out to 3 or 4 agenda items. Obviously, we had more than that today, but we will try to keep it at 3 or 4 for most meetings moving forward, hopefully trying to balance that out to shorten the meeting and to get the most out of each of the reports that we do.
Any questions from outside?
Seeing none, I did just want to mention for your request from last meeting, I did talk to April. We do need to keep all these forward-looking meetings, but as soon as a meeting has passed, we can move them on the calendar.
That makes it short and it goes makes it much easier to figure out where you are.
Yeah.
And item 11, Mr. Abercrombie, report on treatment, distribution, operations, and maintenance.
Sure. Just wanted to give you an update on a handful of things happening in different sections of our group. In our permitting water quality group, We're getting very close to being able to operate Q2. That well, as you know, has been outfitted with treatment. And we loaded resin there a couple of weeks ago and have taken required water quality samples. We're currently going through a little back and forth, answering some final follow-up questions with DDW and awaiting their permit. So anxiously hoping that'll be here in a matter of weeks, not months. Similar on well 201, the construction on that project is just kicking off, but we are working with DDW already with regard to permitting and have been going through another round of questions. And our last set of questions we responded to in mid-June, so it's back in their court. And then you may recall that the board approved what I'm calling a PFAS pilot project. This is a project to sort of pilot test various new types of resins, et cetera. And again, we are working with DDW to kind of make sure all the things they want to see, because part of the outcome of the study isn't just to tell us what's a good resin or material to use, but also to have their buy-in on it so that it's acceptable kind of at the get-go from the results of the study. So we're working with them to provide and answer questions and collect any additional data as we're doing the study that they might want. So that's underway. Our water systems group has been working on a lot of things. They're replacing meters at a number of well sites, doing some rehab work at Newhall Well N12, including a new pump and some downhole column pipe that they're repairing. As Director Peterson noted earlier, we had a leak in a discharge manifold in a booster station off of Hillcrest Parkway, our Villa booster station, a couple of weeks ago. It's kind of a hard thing to solve in the discharge manifold that all the water leaves the station goes through. When that doesn't work, you can't really run the station very well. So our crews responded quickly and were able to bypass the manifold and get the largest pump there operational, which has been sufficient to meet the needs. And in the meantime, the staff is working on replacing the manifold, and we'll probably be bringing it above ground because we have the room in the facility to do that. It just deals with corrosion issues and things a lot better. Our utility group rebuilt the pressure regulating station that we have. This is also up in kind of in that northwest section of our area. And they basically rebuilt it from the ground up. It did a real great job. I have some pictures and things, but I couldn't get them all together in time for tonight, but I'll bring that to a future meeting. They're doing a bunch of valve replacements, finding and identifying as we're doing broken hydrants or other issues. We identify any valves that we think we have issues with. Crews go out to repair those. Inevitably, when they're repairing those, they'll find a few more that might have some issues. So they're working on that. Our safety department is currently working to update the emergency response plan that we have. We do have a consolidated plan that we put together shortly after our formation. But we're working right now. Division of Drinking Water has come out with a new template for emergency response plans that is much more detailed than the older EPA template that agencies used. And so we're kind of using that as a kickoff to move this emergency response plan into that format. We completed a CUPA inspection with the fire department last week, I believe it was. And this was inspecting a number of our fuel storage facilities, such as at the Rio Vista Intake Pump Station, Golden Triangle, and Sand Canyon Pumping Station. That led to our safety group coming up with a schedule to update some of our spill prevention and control and countermeasures plans for those facilities. It's required for any facility that has over 1,320 gallons. And they're also going through a methodical process of going through all of the safety manuals and programs that come out of our safety manuals and looking at them and determining do they need to be updated or anything missing and and so forth. The most recent ones that have been the focus are confined space and lockout tagging. Questions on this?
Seeing none.
Many?
No.
Thank you for the report.
Just a comment. I imagine you read in the paper where Hossa Chemical down here on the old San Fernando Road across from Saga's Cafe had an accident, sent people to the hospital. I had about 7 people that were affected. It didn't say which chemical. I mean, they have hypochlorite, plus they have 90-ton rail cars with chlorine that come in there. So I don't know if it was a chlorine.
Actually, I saw something about acid, actually pull acid.
Oh, because they do pull acid at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it could be both, too.
I've always wondered about that facility with 90-ton rail cars just being unloaded without being in containment. How they get away with that. Mr. Mayor, General Report on Engineering Services.
Okay, I'm going to keep this relatively short, just have a few items. I was going to be presenting on a website update, but similar to Keith, there's a lot of work going on. If I didn't get the presentation together to be able to show you that, our website updates, that will be upcoming. I will get that at the next committee meeting. We do have 10 proposals out for preliminary engineering on future PFAS treatment sites. This is the preliminary look at the sites and how we would structure and configure each of those sites. They're all a little bit different on how you would want to look at them. So we're going to have, once we have those proposals reviewed and make sure we're selecting the best consultant, we're going to bring that forward to the board. You'll see a lot of those coming forward together. We're also focusing a lot on our pipeline replacement, and unfortunately, we're finding supply issues are still plaguing us. We have a 30-week lead time on ductile iron pipe right now. A little over half a year to get a ductile iron pipe for the project. So the most recent project that's going to impact is the Dickinson pipeline, which we are not going to be able to complete this summer. Instead, we are not going to be able to complete it in sometime in early fall. We have already notified and talked with the schools. It's already slated for night work, so we weren't going to get that break of the daytime work anyway. But we will have to have a little bit more coordination effort with them to get that section in. And then we are looking at ways to improve that or to account for the long lead time on items like that, whether we are pre-ordering, although that's not our preference. What we may be doing is issuing the work well in advance so that the contractor to begin paying for the materials and ordering materials and knowing full well that we'll have to give a longer scheduled construction so that we have time for the materials to come in anticipation of that work. The reason that's significant is when you're going to be impacting hospitals or schools, you want to do that in the most efficient way possible, and you want to give them as much advanced notification as possible. So we want to be able to hit those timelines. We'll be working on those solutions on the many more pipeline replacements we have coming up. We are also working right now on updating the specifications, standard construction specifications for the development groups. And we have had now about a year of the plans and specs being out, the standard specifications that we use. So we're going to update those. And then we're also working on a design guideline for PR stations. We will be, after that one is done, we'll work on a design guideline for tanks and pump stations, trying to standardize how we, when we use consultants, what guideline they're going to follow. Same with developers, so that all of us are using the same guidelines and our tanks have a very similar makeup and design at each site under that guideline. We have a numerous amount of easements. Christina is very, very busy collecting those easements. We're also having her look at other sites or other properties that may work for well treatment on whether we need to get that available land. So she is also looking whenever operations is having pipeline work, as the presentation was done today. if we're going to do a work, we've now brought in Christina very early on, typically 6 to 8 months ahead of time to do the easement research before we will be moving forward on a project to make sure that we can have those easements ahead of time and move that forward. It takes a lot of time, not only to do the research of where our easements are and do we have the easements, but then to obtain them, to meet with each of the property owners, get the easements drafted and surveyed and the language together. Fortunately, we do have standard easement language that we utilize on the front end. So it's really just a focus on the legal description and plans for our easement. And then lastly, the master plan is moving along wonderfully. We're getting regular updates for staff. We've met to discuss some of the water resources needs and the analysis they're doing. We also recently had some additional well siting locations that are part of the master plan. And so they gave us some maps for future Saugus wells that are in the plan to eventually add to our system and where those will go. And then we are looking forward to having an update on the hydraulic model. And then there will also be training for staff on how to operate and manage the hydraulic model from the consultant. And then lastly, what we've had an update on, and we will probably bring to the board as a presentation as soon as it's a little further along, is the Power BI, which is our dashboard that shows us our condition assessment and consequence of failure, risk of failure assessment for our facilities. It allows a very interactive map, an interactive system that you can manipulate the useful life of a pipe or concerns you may have about the pipe, or even identify areas that are breaking more often. And that'll highlight and change the map as to what areas of pipe need to be replaced in the time frame you're looking at. And you can see that in real time on a dashboard that we'll show before you. So very useful dashboard that we'll be able to use, making the master plan more than just a static document, but something hopefully we could use as an analyzing tool for where to focus our resources. And that's all the report I have for.
Seeing no public comment.
Very good. Committee?
Right. So regarding the 30 weeks lead time for our pipes here, could you ask Mr. Stone if you can present that issue and his general manager's report, just a statement, so it's on during the regular board meeting. And then regarding the wells and tanks, what's the status of the renaming of our wells and tanks? Is that still going on?
Yes, I mean, we're actually slowly starting to move forward with tanks and turnouts. Right now, we're holding back on wells. Turned out to be more concerns there that we weren't sure we could work through. So,
is it because of the historical record?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and we think we have pretty easy ways to keep track of all that, but we're decided to just bite off the one piece that kind of makes the most sense. And tanks was the hardest things for people to understand, because the tank would have a name that, you know, tied to the name of that tract when it was built 20 years ago, which nobody knows now. And the field guys know or would find the tank by knowing its own XYZ street. And so part of the naming that we're moving to with tanks is to have the tank associated with the physical location of the tank. It's kind of tied to a street, which is a sort of a permanent thing that you can tie it to.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Stone has his hand raised.
Mr. Stone, how are you?
Good. I'm kind of multitasking on a reviewing an agreement here. So I heard Director O's comment about wanting something reflected in the general manager's report. I just want to make sure we captured what that something was.
I'm writing you an email right now.
Okay, good. Excellent. Thank you.
I'm partway through it. I was there.
It was just a statement that we're experiencing a 30-week delay on ductile iron pipe.
Right. Okay. That's kind of what I thought, but I just want to make sure that was it, because Courtney had a list of things, including the nifty features of the model. So my left ear was catching most of it.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Stone.
You know, you can go home at some time here.
This is the punishment for being out last week. I'm catching up.
Hey, Ken, you know, a couple of, and I'm sure that general manager is going to report on it, but you saw the settlement with PFAS, with the manufacturer, has agreed to pay $12 billion. So we'll see if we get something out of that to help with the construction of our facilities. You know, this 30-week delay on ductile iron, we ought to look at whether we need to have a storage reserve of various ductile iron sizes in case of an earthquake where you've lost some pipe. And if it's that long a lead time, you know, you can always get Metropolitan to make you some pipe. You can roll pipe. They do, but they'll have everybody after them want to roll pipe. It might be good to stockpile some. And then just a question for you, Courtney, is now that the Mint Canyon Mutual is starting to come on board, we've got a guideline for it there. Anything new on the Sand Canyon Mutual, where we're at with that now?
Yeah, we've met again internally, and then we've reached out to them. I haven't heard back yet, so thank you for the reminder, because I need to reach out again. Just to see where they are at. They still have a pipeline that is under a retaining wall and some additional work, and they had a few holdouts on easements. That's the last we had heard, but they did reach out again, and so we just need to loop them back in and start that conversation. Theirs is a little bit different system. Their infrastructure is really not in a bad condition, just with the exception of a very small section of pipeline. We've actually been working with them. We've operated the valves. We've checked out the system. Everything seems to be in good working order, minus the few improvements. Theirs was more of getting the easements we are going to need to switch them over, and they have to have agreement for that.
Is there any opportunity with this money that's available through the state right now, what you're doing with Mint Canyon, to get some money to relocate that pipe? I know there's a couple that go right through the yards out there.
We only saw two instances. We can check into it. I know we've talked to them about it before, and the state said no, but that was before this more recent program, so we can revisit it.
Yeah, not that they're a disadvantaged community.
No.
Okay. Anything else from anybody? Okay. With that, then we'll adjourn. Thank you very much. Project are moving forward. Lots of them.
It's fun.
Yeah.